Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, May 27th, and I cannot believe we are almost to the end of May. And I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, and I'll read the entire chapter today. The first parable that we see here is the parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called to each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." And now let's turn over to the book of Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 13. And in this psalm, David feels affliction at the hands of his enemies, and he cries out to the Lord to deliver him. For the director of music, a psalm of David. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemies will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." And now let's turn to the book of Job. Today we are reading Job chapter 12, where Job responds to Zophar. Then Job replied, "Doubtless you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have a mind as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Who does not know all these things? I have become a laughingstock to my friends. Though I called upon God and he answered, a mere laughingstock, though righteous and blameless. Men at ease have contempt for misfortune, as the fate of those whose feet are slipping. The tents of martyrs are undisturbed, and those who provoke God are secure, those who carry their God in their hands. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the air, and they will teach you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Does not the ear test words as the tongue tastes food? Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? To God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are his. What he tears down cannot be rebuilt. The man he imprisons cannot be released. If he holds back the waters, there is drought. If he lets them loose, they devastate the land. To him belong strength and victory. Both deceived and deceiver are his. He leads counselors away stripped and makes fools of judges. He takes off the shackles put on by kings and ties a loincloth around their waist. He leads priests away stripped and overthrows men long established. He silences the lips of trusted advisors and takes away the discernment of elders. He pours contempt on nobles and disarms the mighty. He reveals the deep things of darkness and brings deep shadows into the light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and disperses them. He deprives the leaders of the earth of their reason. He sends them wandering through a trackless waste. They grope in darkness with no light. He makes them stagger like drunkards. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I want to go back to the parable of the shrewd manager. That has always been a very confusing parable to me. Remember the one about the manager who's going to be fired, and then he goes out to the people who owe his master and he cuts them a deal. He says, "You only have to pay me such and such amount, not the full amount." And he makes friends with those who owe the master. And so I had never really understood that until I read the book Act of Grace by James C. Petty. It's a book about generosity as it relates to the church. And I'm going to read a paragraph in this book for us. It's kind of hard to understand. So if you want me to screenshot it to you, email me. This is what he says on page 116. In this parable about money or unrighteous wealth, Jesus uses irony to drive home the point that if a dishonest manager is shrewd enough to forgive his master's business debts and create future obligations from his master's debtor, how much more should the sons of righteousness ensure their future through a godly use of their worldly wealth? So in other words, we as believers should be using our wealth to do God's work so that we make friends and we use what we're given for the kingdom. Jesus teaches us, he says, to make friends for ourselves from those whom we help and those whom we forgive or those who we bless by means of unrighteous wealth or by means of our money, so that when it fails, or he says, when we die, the poor who are now exalted with God may receive us into eternal dwellings or to heaven. The end of this chapter says, our money will fail, so don't be stupid. Quickly, before you die, create future obligations from God to you by lending and giving to the poor. This parable reflects the dynamics of Proverbs 19:17, which reads, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." And so as we think about being generous with what we've been given by the Lord, and as we think about the fact that all we have comes from him, we're just reminded that we are to use what he has given for his purposes and for his kingdom, and to be conduits of his mercy and grace to the poor. Would you pray with me? Father, sometimes your word is very difficult to understand, and yet you've given us resources to help us. Lord, help us to be shrewd in how we use the money that we have here. Help us to remember that all is from you, and all that we have is supposed to be used for your kingdom, to propel us forward into a deeper understanding of who you are, and to be used so that we can be conduits of your grace. As Abraham, we are blessed to be a blessing. And as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Help us to truly believe that and to live into that. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.